الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العزيز والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين وبينهما أمور مستبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس فمن اتقى الشبهات استبرأ لدينه وعرضه ومن وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام كالراعي يرتعي حول الحمى يوشك أن يرتع فيه ألا وإن لكل ملك حما ألا وإن حمى الله محارمه ألا وإن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله ألا ألا وهي القلب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام My dear respected brothers and elders, as we all know, that as being a Muslim, we have to follow all of our daily affairs according to the deen and according to the way shown by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and according to the hukum and the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a thing we do without looking for the injunctions and knowing that this is right or wrong. That is the utmost important, to find out that what we are doing, is it against the Sharia? Is it breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it transgressing the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it within the framework of Sharia? That is imperative and that is compulsory upon every single person to find out before he or she attempts or to indulge in that activity. Same thing applies to what we are eating, what we are drinking. So everything, no matter what we are doing, we have to find out that particular thing that we are doing, is it making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry? Is it making, by doing that action, making us further away from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it drawing the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it attracting the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it making me closer to haram, closer to the fire of hell? Or is it making me closer to Jannah? Is it making me closer to the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it making me closer to the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And is it making me closer to the eternal success that we all hanker for? So whatever we are doing, even our worldly activities that we do day in and day out, that also has to conform to the Sharia. That also has to be according to the wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can be beyond the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left anything without instruction and guidance. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly announces in the Quran that I have completed your deen. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي and has perfected my ni'mah, my blessing upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا and I am happy and have chosen for you the path of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected this deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such a guy, such a way of life which is completely full and complete with instructions and guidance. Not a single thing is without any sort of guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that. And also has given us the instructor to show how we should apply this into our daily lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show how we should implement the Quran, how we should implement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders and how we should fulfill his wish. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left anything ambivalent. This is why in Bukhari, quoted by Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنُ that surely the halal, all those things that are permissible for man and woman to do in this world are completely clear. وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنُ and those things that which are haram, that also is clear. But for the lay people, there are certain things. Those who do not profess, those who do not have the tools of completely understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from them, those who do not have the in-depth knowledge of Islam, for them, وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبَهَاتٌ there are certain things which are not clear, that are ambivalent to them, not to the people of knowledge, for they know that this is right and this is wrong. لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ this is why Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that many people do not know. لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ these are all the people. كُلُّ النَّاسِ said كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ there are many people who do not know. But the ulamas and those who profess, those who have in-depth knowledge of Islam, they will know that this is haram and this is halal. And obviously, those who do not have in-depth knowledge, the duty is for them is to go and ask, seek. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ then go and ask the people of knowledge. Go and ask the people who have in-depth knowledge of Islam if you do not know something. So my dear respected brothers and elders, what is haram? We have to refrain. What is halal? Is those we can take and we can use. That applies to every single sphere of our life. Even the food that we partake and even the transaction that we do in our worldly activities. Today I would like to talk about especially about the food that we consume. Today we are very negligent in that matter. We take it very lightly. My dear respected ones, elders. One morsel haram going into a person that body will not go into Jannah, will have to go into the fire of hell. Even, my dear respected brothers, elders, if we consume anything by mistake which is haram, that will also have a negative impact on our a'mal. It will have negative impact on our a'mal. What did Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That a person is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but his dua has not been accepted. Why? وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَطَعَامُهُ حَرَامٌ What the food he eats is haram. The clothes that he wears is haram. فَأَيْنَ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ How is it that his dua is going to be accepted? Today we make dua. Today we cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it that our problems are getting solved? Why is it that we find so much difficulty? Why is it, my dear respected brothers and elders? Where is the Sahaba? If they wanted to, they make a dead person alive by making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they wanted to, just on their patch of land, they will make the rain come to them and the rain will and the cloud of rain on that patch of land. This is the power of dua they had. And that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in existence. And the same dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Sahaba and the Prophets has given us that same dua. Why is it that dua has no power in it? The same nuclear bomb was given to them, we have that nuclear bomb, yet that nuclear bomb has no power in that. Why is it that we, all of us, make dua, yet nothing is happening? Whereas the Sahaba, one of them will make dua and everything will change. And if they swore by the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that thing will happen and Allah will make it happen. Why are Muslims being persecuted everywhere, yet we are making dua, we are doing everything, nothing is happening? We have to look our actions. And one part of that is the food that we intake. Today we make it very, we think of it very easy. Let's eat. And do not understand the consequences of what we are eating. And so many people are in misconception about what is halal and what is haram. Yet, they do not make any sort of effort to find out from the ulamas what is halal or what is haram. When does a thing become haram? When does a thing become halal? Without knowing that knowledge, how can we make that judgment that this is halal and this is haram? By knowing a few hadiths is not enough, my dear respected brothers. If it's by knowing few hadiths a person becomes a scholar, then every person is a scholar here. Everybody can make a judgment then. So why was it that the scholars of the past spent their whole life in doing research and in understanding the Quran and hadiths? No, my dear respected brothers and elders. By knowing one or two hadiths from Bukhari or in Sahih Muslim does not make us a scholar. Or by knowing a few ayats of the Quran, even if we know the half of the Quran, we know the whole Quran, does not make us a scholar. The only time we can be known that this person still understands is when we give everything to the Quran and Hadith. My dear respected brothers, elders, coming back to the same, back to the point, that looking at what we eat, obviously we need to look at everything, but today's point that I want to focus on, especially what we are eating, what we are consuming. Hand on heart, do we check everything what we eat? When we pick up a chocolate, Do we read the ingredients? Having chewing gum, do we check the ingredients? The chicken and chips that we eat, do we find out where the chicken has come from? Or do we think that it says halal, that's enough? Yet we know that the a'mal and the condition of the iman of today's Muslim is not the same of the Muslims of the past. Look at the taqwa of the people of the past. Look at the taqwa of the sahabas. Look at Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, that his slave once gave him some food. And he forgot to ask the slave. This slave was a Muslim. Sometimes we say, oh, we don't need to ask, we know nothing. This is a Muslim, a Sahabi, forgot to ask his slave where he got them. And then he said to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, that today you forgot to ask where I got this from. So yes, yeah, where did you get that food from? Because before I became a Muslim, I used to be a fortune teller. I used to tell people, oh, this is what's going to happen. And obviously that's haram. And back in those days, I did that for somebody, and he never gave me anything. Now he met me, he gave me some food. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, there and then, start putting his hand in his mouth, try to take that food away. Try to extract that food from his stomach. And he kept on doing until he got it out. So this is the taqwa of the people of the past. That is why the ulamas of the past have said, yes, if a Muslim tells you that this is halal, then fine. It's okay. But is there the same category of Muslims? The Muslims of today would lie for 10 pence. They will say qasam. Wallahi, this is fantastic, this product. Wallahi, this is okay. Swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times if they have to, so that they can sell you that goods. The Muslims are lying left, right and center to take more money. We know what is happening. So these are not the same Muslims. This is why we have to be extra cautious. And also, how many of us know what is what makes a thing halal? What makes our food that we consume halal, and when does it become haram? Obviously, to vegetables, halal and haram doesn't apply because they are all halal. But the product that can become haram, although it was made halal, is animals. Those animals that we are allowed to consume. And am. Cows. Sheep. Goats. Chicken. Turkey. Etc. These are the animals. Will become halal if it's done in a certain way. Now if I was to ask you, who can tell me when does a cow become halal by slaughtering? And I'm sure many people would not know the answer. My dear respected brothers and elders, today many products, especially chicken and meat, are sold on the market saying it's halal, yet in terms of Sharia it's not halal. In terms of Sharia, it is not halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةِ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةِ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, has prohibited mayta, a dead animal. So even if an animal which is normally deemed as halal, if it is dead before it is slaughtered, then that animal will never be halal. حرمت عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به والمنخنقة والموقودة والمتردية والنطيحة وما أكل السبع إلا ما ذكيتم وما ذبح على النصب وأن تستقسموا بالأزلام ذلكم فسق اليوم يئس الذين كفروا من دينكم فلا تخشوهم واخشون اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. The Quran clearly explains, حرمت عليكم الميتة. First thing it touches is that those animals that are dead before it slaughtered are haram. Now, if you were to investigate the practices that are happening in the slaughterhouses, then you will know that that chicken or that meat that is being slaughtered, is it slaughtered the halal way or is it slaughtered the haram way? Today, it is not happening in front of us. My dear respected ones, elders, we need to think, why are du'as not getting accepted? Why are amals not getting accepted? Why are our lives not getting transformed? There are many causes. And one of the causes is this, that what we consume is not correct. So if, for example, an animal like a chicken, if it dies before it gets slaughtered, and somebody was to slaughter that animal and would recite the whole Quran on it, that tell me, would that animal be halal or haram? Would that be animal be halal or haram, my brothers? I can't hear. Yes. Why? Because the Quran says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةِ. The dead animals are haram for you. So if an animal, like chicken, is giving electric shock and it dies before it's slaughter, then tell me, would that animal be halal? Haram. One of the conditions of making an animal halal is that the person zabih, the person who does the zabah, who does the slaughter, has to be a Muslim. Has to be Muslim. Or if it's Ahl al-Kitab, people of the Jews or the Christian, if they believe and they do it according to, then their zabiha also is halal. But they have to be done like the way it's supposed to be done. Just like the Muslims. If the Muslims don't do it properly, we're not going to become halal. So just because he's Ahl al-Kitab, so he can do it anyhow? No, he has to do it like how it's been told. And even in the books, it's been told to do zabah like the Muslims do zabah. So as I was saying, that if a Muslim doesn't slaughter the animal, a non-Muslim, an atheist, then that animal will not be halal. Also, if an animal, out of his four veins, if three of them are not cut, every human living creature has four. Two veins, one throat where the food goes in, and one windpipe where you breathe from. Out of those four, three of them have to be severed. Otherwise, if not, that animal will not be halal. That animal will not be halal. It will bleed to death, but it will not be halal. It will not be halal. So if there's a machine, a blade, press the button, the blade is cutting, slaughtering the animals, there is no physical person cutting, is that animal going to be halal or haram? Why is it haram? It's because there's no slaughter man. Condition is that there has to be a Muslim slaughtering it physically. Yet these practices are happening there. And we are consuming, we're thinking, oh, it's halal. My dear respected brothers and elders, yes, if a person gives you something saying that's halal, but it is not halal, then the sin will be on him, but the effect of that haram will be upon you. Likewise, just recently, before I finish, recently a person, an intruder came, it was his nephew. Just recently, I read it on BBC. He killed the intruder. Thought it was somebody gonna attack him. But he found out it was his nephew. He was exonerated. It was a mistake. But that mistake didn't save his nephew. His nephew's dead. Likewise, my dear respected brothers and elders, somebody gave you something, you thought it was halal, he said it was halal, you ate it, that effect will happen. Just like somebody gave you Ribena, saying this is Ribena, yet this was poison. You drank it. Now tell me, is that poison going to take effect, or it's not going to take effect? No, you thought it's Ribena, so it's somehow it's just going to change into your body and become Ribena now. It will affect. Likewise, once the haram morsel goes into you, the sin may be on that person, but the effect of your du'as and your amal will not be accepted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and strength.